I want you to turn, if you would, please, to the 19th chapter, book of John. John chapter 19. And let's stand together, and I want to read just a few short verses, probably about 5 verses here, and maybe 7. And allow God to speak to us out of His Word. Aren't you glad when God said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? Aren't you glad that just evidently in that same promise, He's saying to us, I'll give you a book, I'll preserve the Word. Amen. And I'm glad God has and will preserve this blessed book of God for us. And He preserved the church. He gave us a book to go along with. And I bless His wonderful name. Thank you again for the singing this week. It's been a blessing. And I appreciate all of it. I wish I could sing, but some folks just have a whole lot more talent. And I'm like the boy that had gone to Fiddler's Convention. It came his time to play fiddle. And all the rest of them, you know, had played and real good. And he got up and got his fiddle or violin, I don't know the difference. And he got it up under his chin, tucked a bow, and he got one string and went yink, 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 sit down. And someone inquired, why? In the world, you just set one string, ain't you? And the rest of these fellas went all over it. And he said, they was looking for it. I found it. So these fellas do the singing. Maybe they're just looking for it. Huh? Say, man. No, I appreciate the singing. It's a blessing, all right? Verse 1, chapter 19, and the book is John. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. If somehow the Spirit of God would ever unravel in our hearts and minds what really took place in the body of our Lord Jesus when they scourged. Probably none of us have never seen anybody scourged like the Romans would scourge him. They scourged him. And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said to them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. And then came Jesus forth wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe, and Pilate said unto him, Behold a man. And when the chief priests and therefore the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, Take ye him. Crucify him, for find no fault in him. Then the Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. And he was the Son of God. And he is the Son of God. You can be seated, and the Lord God will add his blessings to the reading and the hearing of the Word of God, our good, and His divine glory. Pilate was not an unlearned man. He made it his business, being in the position that he was. He was on Hebrew territory, being a ruler as a Roman. And it was certainly in his mind that he wanted to, at least to some extent, pacify the religious whims of those Jews or Hebrews. He did not want to live in daily opposition and confrontation with these folks. Because he knew there was a great deal of authority among the religious power of that day. So therefore, I understand from history that probably Pilate exposed himself very frequently to the teaching of the Lord Jesus. When this day came, when the Lord Jesus stood behind or before him, Pilate knew something about him. Probably not as a result of a hearsay. First hand, he probably had heard the teaching with his own ears. Probably witnessed some miracles of our Lord. So when Pilate said here, "I find no fault in him," it was just not a passing thought to pacify fevered minds of the Jews. He said, "I've observed him," if I read it correctly. "I have observed him. I paid close attention to what he had to say, the teachings and his miracles. Find no fault in him. Find no fault." They tried, the Jews did quite often, to discredit our Lord. Why, they said, "He cast out demons by the prince of demons, by Beelzebub." And then suddenly somebody who had no legs, who was maimed, walked out with two good legs. Now you try to discredit somebody, no, you can't if they got a garter because you couldn't fit and leave, you know. So a miracle today, you couldn't tell. I don't say when Jesus touched somebody, they knew it. They tried to discredit him, and they could not discredit him. His popularity grew. And so when they found they couldn't discredit him, then they attempted to destroy him. Every way possible, they went out to destroy the Lord. Made every effort they could. But oftentimes you read in the Scriptures where it said, "And the time is not yet." That crowd's not in control to start with. Your preacher's already alluded to that tonight. This crowd, ABC and CBS and that crowd, they ain't got this thing in their hands. Democrat and the public's not running his show. Great God Almighty. He said, "I put them up and take them down." He didn't say like little sticks, but he can. It's not man's hands. It's God's hands. Tried to destroy him. Well, they couldn't. In fact, when they crucified him, they didn't take his life. Bible said he laid it down freely. Glory to God. Well, they thought they had things under control. Ephesus Hall. When the blessed Lord Jesus interrogated all night long, and Peter standing out yonder with a fire, cursing. They thought he had control, but when Peter got in a mess, God dismissed him. Amen. God dismissed that crowd because Peter was in a mess, and God went out to have him get out of it. And just as soon as the Lord Jesus stepped out of Cephas Hall, out in the cool of that night, the attention went off of Peter to the Lord. I say he's in control. Could I say three things about him tonight? I find no fault in him. I've been saved for 61 years. I haven't really tried to find any fault. But in every area of this Bible that I've ever studied, every battle that I've ever been in my life, every mountaintop, every battle, I can look back tonight after 61 years of trying to serve God. I look back and say, thank God, I can't find any fault in him. Oh, Judas. Oh, Judas got close enough to the Lord Jesus. I mean, he really got close to him. I mean, he got close enough. You can say what you please. But I believe when the Lord Jesus finished up his praying in Gethsemane, I believe it was literally blood and sweat on his face. And old Judas, with his twisted lips, walked inside that Brother Allen and kissed the face of Jesus. In fact, if I know anything about the word that he didn't kiss him one time, which is an act of worship. Baal was a god of worship and a kiss. And that's what Judas did. Tasted of the blood of the Son of God, died and went to hell. And I tell you, Judas could have stood that day before he ever got that rope around his neck and hung himself. He'd have to look back and say, I found no fault in him. If Judas could have found one little iota, of wrong with the Lord God, he could have died in a certain amount of peace. I want to tell you, bless God, you can't find any fault in him. Amen. He's got a perfect book. He's a perfect God man. And you can't find any fault with him. I found fault in religion. I find fault in this religion because religion can do something. What's what you going to do? What you going to do? That crowd says you got to take the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus and that grape juice. Let me pause right here and run around it just a little bit. One of these folks said, well, I believe that was wine. It would destroy every type of the blood for it to be wine. In fact, the Bible didn't say they had wine that night anyhow. Said the fruit of the vine. And I want to tell you something. Jesus' blood was God's blood according to the book of Acts. And God's blood's not contaminated, and wine is contaminated. You work it off to get there. I want to tell you what. And Jesus didn't have any scars in his hands. Bible doesn't say he had any scars. It said he had wounds. You've got scars. You've got impurity. When you scratch your body and blood oozes out there, red corpuscles, white corpuscles, whichever it is, runs out and try to heal that up and causes what? A scar. Because you've got impurities in your blood. And somebody said, when we get there, we're going to number scars. Now you forget that. But when he got up out of the tomb that day and the women came down, they thought he was a gardener. 3 days before, his body is so mutilated, he didn't recognize him as a human being, hardly. Well, that'll help you if you study that real good. That'll help you mess you up one. But what you gonna do when you got religion says you got to take that little bit of wine or that little bit of grape juice and a piece of bread? What you gonna do with that fella that can't even chew it up and swallow it? Religion mess you up. Huh? I'm just simply saying, you can't find any fault in this thing about salvation. Glory to God. Amen. I mean, you can't touch it. And so that's my first thing tonight. I want to say, I find no fault in his redemption grace. That's not a fault, man. Also, this redemption means that you and I was bought off of a slave block. I was a slave to sin. You were too, weren't you? Yeah. How many times you try to quit cussing? Your vocabulary is messed up because your nature is messed up. How many of you tried to quit drinking? Man, every Monday morning, I've heard them say, every Monday morning, I quit. I ain't going to go back on no more. My head feels like a number two tub. My mouth is dry. I have sandpaper. I'm not going back. But to forget about when payday comes on Friday, right back in the same old rock gut. You know why? Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. But thank God. I'm glad when you found Jesus, or he found you, Heather, and God found you where you were and saved you by the grace of God and transformed you. I'm glad, thank God, he bought you out of slavery. You're not a slave to sin anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. First, when he saved me, from the penalty of sin. He saved me from the power of sin daily. And one day he'll save me from the presence of sin. Thank God for his redemption power. I'm glad, thank God, he reached down and saved me. And he saved me eternally. Keep finding the fault. You see, the blessed thing about being saved by the grace of God, that he changes your nature. Isn't that good? I know I know some of these Church of God is not Church of God. Well, yeah. I know you bet they folk, and you think you can just get saved and do as you please. One thing about that, you get saved, God fixed it to please. Amen. God puts a nature down. You can't help serve God.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, something got birthed in here. I can't help that I got up this morning wanting ham and eggs and hot biscuits and sourwood honey and a cup of coffee. I didn't get it, but I want it. That's the nature I got. You have to know what you want is eating to have it. You have eating habits, but eating is not a habit. It's a nature.
Right.
God put some nature. Aren't you glad? No, I won't do it, Jim. If I'd be anyone like that, you would hurt that, wouldn't you? I ain't going to do it. You know what? I won't say thank God for pain. God put pain in there to help you from our problems of life. That's nature. God put it there. Amen. You see, you got a few things about your body. You don't have to think of this. You don't have to think to blink your eyes. You don't have to think to breathe. That's nature. Glory, glory, glory. When God saved you, you don't have to think about living for God. It's a nature.
Yeah.
Woo! The visitation program. You don't have to come to your house and ask you to go to church. It's a nature. That's God. You want to go because God put it in your heart. Then you creature out of you. Wouldn't it be a mess if God could have saved you and left you that same old vocabulary? Wouldn't it be horrible if God saved you and left you that same old Adamic nature in you that craved views? I would say, thank God, I can't find no fault in that. Amen. I'm glad God redeemed me one day off the slave block and made me a son of God. Amen. I'm a slave, but not to sin. I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ tonight. Thank God. He paid the price. Redeemed me. Lost under that God. You seen where I was. I wouldn't look for God that night I got saved with you. No. They brought a little old girl one day. A woman, she had a couple of children. Three, the exact. And she was like, I'm sold out this thing. And they put her on, she's going to be on the slave block a little bit. And I'm going to tell you something. She knew that this man named Hosea wasn't from what she was. Now, Gomer has been his wife. Sure enough, Hosea. But he showed up. But God bought her. I'm talking about all the filth and disobedience and wickedness. He bought her and took her home with the young. Amen. That's what God did to me. Woo! I was his by physical birth. And thank God one day he came to the slave block and bought me with a price. Wicked, low down, home with the hell, but put me in the buggy and took me home.
Amen.
Woo! Thank God. God redeemed me. Saved me. When I wasn't looking for him, preacher, he came a looking for me. Oh, that's salvation. That's redemption. Can't find no fault in that, can you? No. There's a lot of fault in me. I tell you, the perfect man came to where I was. I was unrighteous. And he put his righteousness in me. That's the reason he said, let your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. You'll know why I enter into the kingdom of God. I couldn't get in. But thank God he charged his righteousness up to me. God can't see me for seeing his son. Righteous. Saved. Put on the slave block going down, but it came where I was. Saved me by his grace. Can't find no fault in that. I said, you can find a lot of fault in religion. You can't find no fault in Henry Dixon. No, 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 no. I said it's forever. Isn't that good? I explained that 2 or 3 times this week. I'm glad I got under blood cut. Amen. I'm glad it'll last. I ain't going to stay up tonight and worry about whether he's able to keep me. He said he's able to keep, which I committed to him against that day. Amen. I deposited something in the Lord Jesus one day, and I ain't worried a bit about it. No. Most of you. And I know my dad, of course, I was born just a year after the big bank burst. I was born in 1930. February 14th, 1930. Saved you a little figure. That's 74 years ago this past February 14th. And those folks wouldn't trust the bank. And bam! And a lot of those folks up until World War II, a lot of those folks wouldn't put in the bank, and some of them never did. I mean, a lot of those folks would get the fruit jars and bury their money in fruit jars. They'd trust the bank. But I didn't know anything about that. I was too small to understand all that stuff. So when I got old enough and I found out I had to have a bank account, and I was pretty old before I found out I had to have one. Certain things have to pay, you know. And so I went down to the bank and put my money in, and I didn't lay there all night long wondering if it's going to be safe or not. Yeah. You know why? I walked in them doors, that's that thick, amen. I seen bars on those doors. I seen all kind of electrical alarm systems. And I said, it's safe. Okay, son. Bless God, I picked up his blessed book, and I found out it's in the hand of God. And, whoo, and here's it, guys, in Jesus Christ, locked up in him. I couldn't get out. Oh, amen. And I thank God, I'm sure. I said, I was in here. Praise his blessed name. Can't find no fault, man. It takes a whole lot of worry out of you. You see, glory to God. You ever find out you saved eternally? Yeah, you'd enjoy it, would.
Right.
Brother Ken, I saw a little bit ago about Brother Ray. I used to drive his old truck back, of course, before I started preaching. That's what I did. I drove Captain Taylor. Last job I had, praise the Lord. I hauled fuel oil, gasoline, and a tanker all over North South Carolina. And I was living in Mississippi. Brother Ray said, anybody know where Sunshine is? Somewhere back down between here in Tennessee or somewhere back in a little place called Sunshine. I know how to call Sunshine because it's 11:30 before the sun ever got. I'm right down. Yeah. And Brother Ray said, I'm going to take that Middleton, Tennessee, which is about 50 miles from Myrtle. I'm going to take you up and put you on a train. And I want you to go to certain places. I don't remember what room for maybe it was. And it's an all-night thing. And so I got on the train, and next morning they come to serve breakfast. And boy, I thought, man, I'm going to eat good. And I did. And they brought me a bill, and I thought I bought Southern Railroad. And I didn't say anything to Brother Ray. And so that fall, he called me and said, Brother Lockie, I want you to fly. I been flew into Jacksonville, Florida. And he met me there and was going to go out to a little place in Florida called Bonifay. Now we'll forget it. So I want you to go in there. I want you to come. We've got to get here. And we're going to tie that tent down the first thing on Monday morning. We've got to get that thing loaded up and packed down. We've got to get gas to South Carolina and put that thing up about that night. So I want you to fly down here so you can be ready to pull out. Well, I went down to Charlotte. That was back in the old. Oh, they didn't have these jets. That Piedmont had those Royal Rosses engines they called props. And I got on one of those things and was going to fly down to Jacksonville. And I didn't sleep good that night. I had never flown in the large. I'd flown into the puddle jumpers, you know, 2 place outfits went out here. But I never been in a big one before. You know, I was nervous and a cat on a tin roof. And I didn't sleep good. And I got down there. I was afraid. I was afraid when I got on it. And it's kind of leveled out in there. A little girl come by and said, what do you have these? Back in those days, somebody remember, you had your choice. They give you the vegetables, you know, but you had your choice of 2 meats, you know. We eat one you wanted. And I said, my wife, I said, I'm not hungry. God said, sure to God wouldn't want to buy Piedmont Airlines. No, I said, I'm not hungry. We got on the ground. I said, Brother Lay, I said, let's go eat. And he said, you know you don't return. I said, no. And I told him about what I did on that southern flight of rail. And I said, I wasn't about it. He said, the meal went with the ticket. I said, huh? Let me tell you something, Paul. Bless God, go ahead and enjoy it. It comes with a ticket. Amen. Well, no, nothing wrong about going first class. Bless God, you can't get lost. Because you didn't get saved on your salvation to the Lord. Thank God I find no cost in redemption. Okay, something, folks. Because Jesus loved me enough to die for me and come where I was down a dirt road and save me that night. I tell you, I love Him. I ain't about to go wrong with the help and grace of God. I'm not looking for something I can do. How to bring reproach upon God. I'm looking for something to glorify Him for what He did for me. Amen. Glory to God. Over the first chapter of the book of John, what I just read to you. And I believe somewhere about the maybe 13th, 14th verse, I hear old John standing out there one day. And well, they said, John, you're the one who looked for another. Boy, old John's a blazing outlaw. He had a different message. They said, John, you're the one who ought to look for another. Or he said, one coming after me, whose shoelaces I'm not worth the last. He's not going to baptize you with water, but he'll baptize you with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Let's stop that and mess up a lot of Baptists. Amen. And the next day, John stand there and he started to preach. He said, wait, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. I want to say, there's the one who said, yonder he comes. For I'm glad. Amen. I'm glad I got the Lamb today. Hallelujah. I'm glad to wash my sins away. They're gone, thank God. I like that fire, bitch. They're gone. I'm no fault. There's redemption. Let me look back here. Secondly, in verse 5, look what it says. Then came Jesus forth wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe, and Pilate said to him, behold, man. Oh, John said around the first chapter of this book, he said, behold the Lamb. Then he said, behold the man. I can't find no fault. I'm about to shout on it. I find no fault in his representation. Amen. You know, sometimes we overlook a lot of little things, just real blessings that you just wouldn't overlook them. Yes, when you read the Bible and you come upon them words for you, you'll just stop and shout a little bit. And he died for you. Amen. And he's coming back for you.
Amen.
And by the way, between now and then, he's standing in for me.
Amen.
He's my representative.
That's right.
Amen. Behold a man. Now you see, Jesus, am I right? The last book in the Bible makes reference before the first book in the Bible ever written. And he said, he's a lamb slain for the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And you know what? Real harsh. That day when he had made all the creation and decided to make man his own likeness, his own image. You know the reason he made his likeness and his own likeness, his own image? Because he knew he was going to become one of us. The highest of God's creation is man. Because you see, back before the foundation was his fine. So when he made man his own likeness, and we're not his own likeness, known only by our character, man.
You're right.
But when he made man, he made him. So God himself, hallelujah. So God could become man. You see, God couldn't save you in heaven.
Right.
He had to get down amongst us.
Yeah.
That man had come down here, get in among us. Glory.
Yeah.
He come down here to be a representative.
Yes,
He did.
Let me say, let me show you something. Matthew chapter 4, the first temptation. Of course, Luke said he was tempted 40 days, or fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. No disagreement. Just different statement. He said, in that first temptation, the devil said, "You be the Son of God. How is these stones to be turned to bread?" Get the message of what it said. My name.
Yeah.
Devil. You know what the Lord God was doing right there before the devil and every demon in hell and in the Bible? You know what he's doing? He said, "I'm a coming like a man to you and standing in for every man that'll be here."
Yeah, that's
what he's doing. He's standing for you and me. You know what he's saying? You don't have to have things to have joy in this world.
That's right.
Joy is not based on things. Hey, hallelujah. Stood right face to face and said, "I'm representing man."
Man.
That's bigger than I am, folks.
Amen.
Well, I'm that God. Stood in for me. He's my representative. Behold, man. Some years ago, I had just moved to Lenore. And I think maybe James Ballhill had already had one term in Congress, maybe two, I don't know at that time. But I didn't know James Ballhill, and I didn't anybody else in this town. And I hadn't been here long. Somebody come knock my door one day, and I went to the door. And he introduced himself, and someone who did not know who they were. But he said, "I'm James Ballhill. I'm a 10th congressional. And 10th district, I'm the congressman, Washington. And I would appreciate, Mr. Lockheed, I'd appreciate so much that if you would, I'd like to have your support in this fall election." So I thanked him for coming. And I inquired about who Mr. James Ballhill was. So I found out Mr. James Ballhill born on the other side of town. Mm-hmm. And that his parents owned the Ballhill complex. And that he was a wealthy, wealthy man. Well, I felt honored the man like that come knock at my door. But he said, "I'm going to represent you in Washington." Well, I got the ring. I grew up in a large family. Six boys and six girls. We had cornbread milk supper. I said, "The other night, we saw hogs in the morning. Milk cows. Bug taters. Mm-hmm. Thick beans. We didn't take a bath every night, but we did wash the feet." Why in the world did you just wash your feet? Well, three laid in the bed, two one way and two the other way, so that foot had to be in somebody's face.
Yeah.
Not a thing. I bet James Ballhill never milked a cow. I said to James Ball, "He'll thought them things on her head, but a cow can blow them with a horn." You know, what I'm saying is this. James Ball, he could not represent me.
Yeah.
He hadn't been where I was. He hadn't been to cornfield. He hadn't had to sweat and fuss and fight. He hadn't had to go through that. I mean, he had born, as we say, with a silver spoon in his mouth. He didn't know how I felt.
I'm going to tell you, glory be to God Almighty, one day there was one stepped out of eternity into time. Whew. God took upon himself a form of man who thought he might rob to be equal with God for certain time. Hallelujah. Came down, tasted what I did. Glory to God. He's my representative.
Over there in the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, that last verse, he said he was sucker's man. Little Bobby, you get through some real tough times, bottom falls out. I mean, how many of you left devastated? I know what I said, Bobby. I'm praying for you. And I sympathize with you. You remember Lockheed Flush?
That all I'm doing.
That all I'm doing. But you know what? When the Lord said, I'll suffer you, he said, I'm going to sit down beside you when hardships come, said our body. I'm going to be with you, my son. You and I'm never going to leave you. But there's another word that said, I'm not going to forsake you either.
Yeah.
You're not going to leave. But so I want to bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Yeah.
He said, you mess up, you get on the bottom, you foul up, and you're no good. I won't forsake you either. Amen.
Amen.
You know what he'll do? He said, I'll suffer you.
Yeah.
And what he's going to do, he said, Bob, it's not your load anymore. So you ain't bad.
Mm.
But tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick you up right now. Glory to God. I'm a man, your burden for you. You have to go to bed with us tonight. Glory to God. He knows how I feel. He knows who I am. He's God. Hallelujah. God, aren't you glad you got in this? I said, I can't find no Paul in his representation. Can you?
No, sir.
What a Savior. Lord God, that'll make a backslidden Presbyterian shout. Amen. I've got a good representative. Hey, any of you preachers, they'll get discouraged, and I'm not asking you, you have, if you've been around long enough. Well, I just never hear the devil talk three times. I was coming out of Kentucky in the meet several years ago. It was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I just started across Jaco Mountain. And that's up 75 out of Knoxville. About 100 some miles. And I come across, just started across Jaco Mountain. We hadn't had much of a meeting, in my estimation. Might have been a good one, God's estimation. I don't know. But you know how we evaluate things. And I mean, it'd been pretty slow. I mean, you know. And then we got up in the car with me. Traffic had slowed down. 3 o'clock in the morning. Wouldn't know what me and the devil on the road didn't look like. And the devil just kind of got in the front seat with me. And I could hear him say, made a failure this week, old boy. He wasn't talking about. I mean, something down inside of you. I mean, just giving you that kind of word. Made a mess. Well, my estimation, sure. Sure. He said, by the way, I don't think you even worried to push or not. And I said, I guess so.
Yep.
I agreed with him. But about that time, I heard the back door slam. Somebody else got in the car. A worthy one got in there. Amen. One man that had never failed got in there. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Bless God, the other door slammed. He went out. And the other coming. Glory to God. I haven't better got somebody in the way in the night when storm winds are blowing and the doors are padded up on me. God said, I'm here. I'll be with you. I'll stand with you. Devil can't. Devil has to get permission to do everything he does.
Yeah.
When I was running from God, I took a job delivering retail milk at home. That's back east of the door. Can't take them to the door. Well, we had the little boxes in there where we had a little office where we went into. And in my box is a note from the route manager. Said, James, I want you to take 2 quarts so many times a week to such and such a address. And this is 3 houses below one other stop I had, and I knew I would lost. So, you know, we did out. I got it at 3 o'clock, and on the road, and I was back in 11:30, 12 o'clock, had my outrun, you know, and it was 4 daylight. I parked that old van, had, you know, hit your brake, and it locked on me, you know. And he got back, hit that button, and then locked him, and he goes, so just about. Well, I pulled up that driveway, crossed the one side of the road, I pulled up, popped it on, jumped out. I got up and threw my milk down. See, I didn't have any empty bottles to pick up. That time I turned around, there's a bulldog. And I said, you low down critter, don't you come no closer. Yo, how? Bow! My back finally got that truck and I jumped in, slammed that door. I told my manager, I said, forget that milk. I ain't going back. That evening, I got milk in my box. Rockies, dogs have been taken care of. Don't worry about it. They got the dog tied up. He won't be there to bother you. Well, that next morning, I skipped the morning, went back. And I put the milk up on the porch. Started back down. Here come that dog around. Go, wah, 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 wah. I said, hallelujah. I got them bottles. I said, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, I said, my God, don't let him get loose. Son, that's as far as he could go. I got a representation. Thank God, got the devil by the horn. He can't do for sober.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. I got a good representation.
Amen.
Hey, bless you all. That makes you sleep good, man. You get sick and go to the hospital, just remember, God's in control. If it comes back positive, God's still in control. Amen.
Right.
That's what God said, don't you worry. It's not in your hands, it's in mine. The whole man. Then he said, behold the key. I'm not. I find no fault in my ruler.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed to be here tonight.
Right, brother.
Not ashamed to be under his authority. He's my ruler. Now, I've been saved since 61 years. There's been a lot of times that I've worried. And didn't have to. Amen. Really need to. Because Lord God said, I supply all you need. Not needs. But me, he put all in one. I supply all you need according to my riches and glory. Now I'm going to look back. Can I look back? Will you look back? I've never lacked anything I needed. God's going to supply. Amen. Amen. Why in the world? We got folks today. I know it's a concern. Don't take me as just a flip mind. But there's no need for you to worry about the economy in Caldwell County.
Yeah, that's right.
Will you listen to me? A lot of folks today are saying, oh Lord, why? I'll tell you something. If the devil can get you asking why, he can get you to doubt God.
That's right.
He'll get you finding fault in his plan and in his man and in his city.
Yep.
Sickness come to your house, and if you say, God, why? That gives the devil room to let you doubt God and accuse God. And you'll lose your joy, you'll lose your footing with God, and you'll be a miserable Christian if you're saved.
Right.
Miserable. We got a king. Thank God. He'll look after his own.
Yeah.
What did David say? He said, I once was young, now I'm old. Now I've never seen a righteous forsaken seed begging bread. Amen.
Right.
Listen to me. God will. Somebody said, God will put his angels on half ration, take care of his young'uns. God will. He's King of Kings. He's got this thing in his hand tonight. Hallelujah, what a Savior. That's the reason God said, don't worry. I've got it in my hand. I'm taking care of it. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Cause the sun to shine, clouds cause it rain on the just and the unjust. He's God tonight. Amen. Find no fault in him. I've never seen a time of I didn't need some clothes that God didn't supply.
Yep.
Amen. I never seen a time when I lacked joy that God didn't give me joy in my heart. Amen. God supplied you need, hadn't he?
sure. God's met every need you've ever had. He didn't say you won't, but let me say this. I believe you live close enough to God. I believe, if you be one of them Peter, James, and John, you be one of them in a circle. David said, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Did he say that? Amen. I believe God can turn a roll of bologna into T-bone steaks if he wants to. Amen. 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 He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He'll look after young ones.
Yep.
Now, let me say this. I'm going to close a little bit. This world is watching you and I tonight on how we react in certain circumstances of life. They're watching you to see how you react when sickness comes your house.
Yeah.
Oh, you may not be aware of it, but they're watching you. They are observing you. Could I say this? Those folks next door, when they read in the paper, see a book, they're having a revival at Calvary, they're looking to see if you go.
Yeah, they are.
And they're sure going to watch and see if you leave in time to go to Sunday school or not. You know what? See what they're saying? If it don't work in his life, I doubt if it'll work in mine. But God wants to be your king, your ruler tonight. Because he wants other folks to look and see, hey, there's something real in that life. Amen. You see, when God took that bunch of slaves out of Egypt, he gave them that law I was talking about. He gave them the judicial and the civil law. And God gave them that different from any other in all the world. You know why God did that? He said, I want everybody in the world to know that's a people that's different because we've got a different God.
Yeah,
and that's what God wants us to be. He wants him to be King and Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
You don't make him King and Lord. He already is.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me ask you, man. Do you have a kind of salvation that you can depend on in the storm? Have you got the kind you can't find no fault in that will give you peace in the valley and peace on the mountain? Have you got Christianity that is a personal thing? Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. Thank God for my Bible.
Yes, sir.
But I'm not married to this Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I have a personal relationship with a God man.
Yes. Yes.
You have a salvation with the relationship of the God man. I got married October 1st, 1949, just 4 years ago. And honest to God, I don't know where a marriage certificate is, man. Miss Lockheed might know, I doubt it. But deedly dumb, who cares? That little piece of paper hadn't kept us together.
Amen.
Been a personal relationship.
Amen.
Thank God for that Bible. That Bible's not what kept us together. It's a personal relationship. Amen.
Right.
I want to ask you tonight before we depart this room. Do you have a... And ask you if you come to church, your name's on the book. I want to ask you if you have a personal... Are you hearing me right?
Yes.
Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus? Is it a... You see, you can't fall in love with a piece of paper. And I'm not believing that book. Don't you misunderstand me. But that book reveals a person. And that's what that book's all about, to tell you about a person. I want to ask you if you got a right relationship with a person. And I tell you, that's the reason many folks aren't faithful tonight, is because they got a legal document without knowing the person.
Just stay.
I find no fault.